Dear God, our Father, we come humbly before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, praising you and thanking you for your goodness to us in so many ways, getting us through another week to another Sabbath day where we can set 24 hours aside to focus on you and worship you. I'd like to lift up the people on our prayer list here in the bulletin. Just want to pray for Liam. His situation, we thank you how you've protected him and been with him this far. Also for Michelle and Jasmine. Pray for Bob and Cindy that they're in Florida now and been traveling many miles. Continue to be with them, keep them safe on their travels. And also we'll pray for Emily and little Addie. Thank you for answering our prayers there and help her to recover. Also many others, I want to lift up Tammy here and Brian. You'll just be with them, bless them in a mighty way. Put your healing hand upon her and pray for a miracle there. Also think of John Walden and his family. Give them strength that they need here as they're going through these trials, and pray that through all of this that them and we can all be brought closer to you as a result. I think of Doris here. It's so good to see her at a prayer meeting and continue to be with her healing. And we know Tiny now has gone through some trauma, and just comfort him, give him courage and strength. Through all of this though, and there's many more here, there are many people here have health issues and other issues of many different sorts. So be with us all in a special way. And no matter what the issue, the only single solution is just to keep focused on you, Jesus. Help us not to look at ourselves and our problems, but to focus on you. You are the great physician. You are the mighty Lord in charge of all. So we just put all this in your hands. Now we ask for a special indwelling of your Spirit here today. Be with Pastor Ken as he speaks, that we hear words from you on high and we can take them to heart. We look around the world, the troubles, the problems, the stuff, we see it's just worse and worse every day. We believe the end is close, and this is a time for us to just cling to you, Jesus, to hold you tight, to walk with you from the first thing in the morning till we fall asleep at night. We don't want to have a moment without holding close to you. You are our protector and our shield, and we thank you for that. Now be with us the rest of this Sabbath day here. We commit it all to you for your honor and your glory. We love you, dear Jesus, and we ask it all in your name. Amen. Not in your bulletin here, but we are going to be blessed today with a special music from Brian here. Thank you, Brian.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save us sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make things new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you know you've kissed the face of God. Well, Mary, now did you know the blind will see and the deaf will hear? Dead will rise again, the lame will leap and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule this nation? Did you know that your baby boy, he's heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Beautiful. Okay, it's time for our scripture reading. It's in your bulletin if you'd like to read along, or in your Bible. It's going to be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Hey, Pastor?
Happy Sabbath, friends. It's good to have the support of friends out in the congregation today and the opportunity to share God's word with you. Over these last several months, I wonder, has 2023 been going fast for you? Seems like it's been quite quick, hasn't it? But I've been sharing a series off and on as I've been sharing a message on heaven. And I titled it, Oh, to be Heavenly Minded. And you wonder, well, here we are in the Christmas season. What does heaven have to do with Christmas? What does heaven have to do with the first advent of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to let the Word of God describe that to us as we seek to understand together this title today, Heaven by Faith and Heaven by Sight. And as you know, sometimes it's a nice idea to start out with a song, don't you think? Let's think about a Christmas song, one that has to do with the first advent of Christ. Let's try this one. Sing with me, will you? Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
And then one that came to my mind that has to do with Jesus' second coming, heaven. You know what? Heaven's my home's in heaven.
My home's in heaven, just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. My home's in heaven, the rent is free. For Jesus paid it on Calvary.
Have you ever considered this question? When does heaven begin? You ever think about that? When does it begin? And my first response was, as I thought about this question and put together this message, well, of course, heaven begins when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes, he takes us to heaven. And yet, I would suggest to you that heaven really begins when you and when I accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You see, when we say yes to Christ, we begin, underline that, we begin to know, we begin to experience the benefits of heaven right now by faith. By what? By faith. However, when Jesus comes again, and another way to say Jesus coming is his appearing, when Jesus comes again, we will actually know and experience the benefits of heaven by sight, the real thing. Isn't that awesome? I have given to you the sermon right there. But now let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. Heaven now, by faith, at its appearing, heaven by sight. Many of you, as you came into church, you received a church bulletin. And I would invite you to bring out the sermon outline. It kind of gives you a guide as to where we're going to go and where we're going to end. And I hope that you will take it home and review it and look at it more closely, because there are some areas that I will not be touching today. But as you look at this diagram, you'll notice on the diagram, and there's a comparison and a contrast between the first advent of Jesus Christ and the second advent of Jesus Christ. And I want to begin our message today with the first advent of Christ. Believe it or not, God has given to us all these awesome blessings. He gave them to us, each of them, at his first advent. And no wonder Jesus Christ is worthy of our adoration. This is really good news, friends, that through the redemptive acts of Jesus Christ, God has given us, and I would invite you to read them out loud with me together. What has he given to us? Redemption, salvation, righteousness, perfection, immortality. And I can imagine some of you thinking, well, Pastor Ken, that really sounds awesome. That sounds really exciting. Would you be a little bit more specific? Yes, I can do that. In fact, I would invite you to look at your outline again. Look a little closer at that diagram, and you'll notice that we are living right now between the first advent and the second advent of Jesus Christ. That's where we're living right now. According to Daniel chapter 2, we're living in the toenails of time. But we're living in between those two events. And as you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, you discover that we're living when? What's the day we're living? It's called what? The last days. We are living in the last days.
And as you're turning your Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to re-emphasize that God has already given to us every blessing in Jesus Christ. What did God give to us as a result of the Christ child coming and being born in Bethlehem? What did God give to us as a result of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what he gave to us. Read it again with me out loud. He gave us redemption, salvation, righteousness, perfection, and immortality. In other words, heaven has begun. And we have these blessings, we have them by faith. By faith. However, that does not mean that these blessings are, as it were, qualities necessarily in us, but rather these are blessings that are outside of us. And where are they found? In Jesus. They're found in Jesus Christ. Christ is our redemption. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our perfection. Jesus Christ is our immortality. Where is Jesus right now? Where is he right now? He's in heaven. And to be more specific, as you study the Bible as a whole, you discover that Jesus is in the heavenly sanctuary. He has finished the most holy place ministry, and he's now in the most holy place. You can read all about it right there in the scriptures. In the most holy place. And whether he be in the holy place or the most holy place, one of the parts of his ministry now in heaven is to apply the benefits of what he did for us when he was here on the earth. The benefits, the blessings. And we have those blessings, those benefits, by what? By faith. By faith. You've turned in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I would like for us to read, well, let's see. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Everybody there? Follow as I read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here is, right here in this one little verse, is the essence of what the gospel's all about. Jesus Christ has lived and died and risen again. The essence of the gospel. And because of what he did, guess what happens to us? What are the results? Look at verse 4. To an inheritance. We must stop there. Did you know that you have an inheritance and I have an inheritance? And it's talked about right here in verse 4. I wonder what it is described. This inheritance is described as incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. I like that, don't you? Where could it be? Where might that inheritance be? Take a look at it. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, those of you who underline in your Bibles or circle in your Bibles, I would invite you to circle right now, reserved in heaven for you. And I did that in my Bible, and I've been reading this and studying this, and I said, wait a minute, that's for you, that's me, that's me. And so I would invite you, right next to the word you, put down your name, reserved in heaven for Ken. Don't, no, you put your name. Reserved in heaven for Jerry. Reserved in heaven for Mary, reserved in heaven for Dennis, reserved in heaven for Bruce, and reserved in heaven for Cindy. We could go down through the list. It's for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. All these blessings are there to be found in Jesus Christ, in him, by faith, by faith. Now, I've read that, I studied that, and I said, well, what would that look like? What would that look like? I have all these blessings, and these blessings are found in Jesus. in heaven, reserved in heaven for me, what would that look like? Looking at each one of these wonderful blessings. Well, let's take a look. We're redeemed. We are now redeemed. Now, you and I can know that we are redeemed. You and I can know that God accepts us. And yet, are you anything like me? I think you are. Sometimes our senses, sometimes our surroundings, sometimes in our conscience, the devil is there when we've blown it to say, look at you. You aren't saved. Only a Christian would make it through, and you didn't, so you're not saved. Just how do you and I, how is it that God has designed that we live by faith right now? Well, nothing new, but it's something we need to apply, and that is, first of all, to become acquainted with the promises of God. To hold on to those promises of God. That's number one. Number two, to become acquainted with God in a relationship with Him through Bible study and prayer. I told you it's nothing new. No new pills here. This is something God has designed for us. This is His ingredients. And then I would suggest something else that you sing. Sing those songs that you know, that we've sang here at church, that have to do and reinforce in your mind that Jesus loves me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim Him. Sing those songs, for it keeps our focus upon Jesus Christ. And when we begin to doubt, and those times will come, we begin to doubt that we are redeemed. Take out those promises. Hold on to them. Wrestle with them. And in effect, say this. Be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. Would you say that out loud with me? Be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. I'm holding on to this promise. Here's another example of how to hold on to these blessings that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He abolished death. He abolished death. And we can know that now, friends, right now, this side of heaven, only by faith. Only by faith. Because if you're anything like me, you know that Christians die, right? Everyone in this room here today, everyone in this church sanctuary, including this man that stands before you, if Jesus doesn't come soon, ultimately we're all going to die. We're subject to death. And yet we read in the Word of God that He's abolished death. And we need to hold on to that by faith. Even unbelievers die. But you and I, as Christian believers, we can stand by the deathbed of a loved one. We can stand by the deathbed of a loved one, and we can say right now, by faith, I'm holding on to God's word that Jesus abolished death. Death is like a sleep. That Jesus is going to awaken on resurrection morning. I believe I'm going to see my loved one on the basis of the Word of God, not on the basis of what I see or what I feel, but I'm going to see Jesus come again, and I'm going to see my loved one come forth. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Amen? Now here's another example. By faith. Righteousness. Righteousness is by faith. Do you, as a Christian believer, possess a perfect, spotless, flawless righteousness? Do you? The righteousness that we do have is tainted with sin, isn't it? It's tainted with sin. And so the facts are these. According to the Word of God, we are now righteous with God by faith. not in our righteousness, but in someone else's righteousness. Who could that be? Who could that be? Who do you want it to be? I want it to be Jesus. I know you do. Christ is my righteousness, and oh, what a righteousness I have in Jesus. This is the righteousness that saves us. Bible students call it, according to the Bible, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now, your question may ask, well, what about the righteousness in us as the Holy Spirit is in me? Bible students call that the imparted righteousness of Christ. Thank God for the imparted righteousness of Christ that brings forth fruit in our lives. And I've seen a lot of fruit here. And you've expressed that fruit, the Holy Spirit in you, towards me. And part of the reason why I love coming to this church is because God's love is shown in you towards me and towards one another. But friends, I want you to remember this. Our prayers, our obedience, our service to God, even motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit, is still tainted with sin. Why is that? Because we still possess the old nature. The new nature is there, but the old nature is there. We still have the old nature, and so what's going to save us now, what's going to save us in the end, is it going to be our righteousness? No, it's going to be Christ's righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now, what about immortality? The truth is, we don't possess immortality either, does it? In fact, if you read the Bible and you study it, clear enough, you'll discover that we are mortal. We're mortal. We're subject to death. We do not possess a death-proof substance by nature. So how do we have immortality as a gift? It's not in us. It's in Jesus. Jesus Christ is our immortality. In fact, take a look at this here in the Word of God, speaking about Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. It says this about Jesus, who alone has immortality. Read all about it. That's just one verse among many, many others to show that only God, only Jesus Christ has immortality. This side of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we have immortality also by faith. I want to invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, friends, the world might look at us and say, you're poor. And we might be poor as far as the world is concerned. But as far as Jesus is concerned, my friends, you and I are rich. We are rich indeed. And the Bible says that all these blessings are reserved in heaven for you and for me. We are rich. And we're rich because in the bank of heaven, we've got Christ. And Christ is all of that. We're rich because Christ is our redemption. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our perfection. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our immortality. We have all these riches now by faith in Jesus Christ. So heaven has begun. It has begun. However, I have never met a millionaire that doesn't keep some of his money with him, right? You met any millionaires in your lifetime? Maybe I met some. And I know they keep some of their money in them. And I've never met a Christian. I have never met a Christian who has this million-dollar righteousness in Jesus Christ, and yet they still possess some of that righteousness in them, right? Have you turned in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1? Let's read it for ourselves. It's right there. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. This really helped me. I love this verse. I hope you do too. Starting with verse 13. In him, that's who's him, by the way? In Christ. you also trusted. Have you also trusted? It goes on and says this, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, in other words, having believed in Christ, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I want you to catch the picture here. We want to understand what this verse is saying to us. It's threefold, a threefold picture, right here in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. First of all, we hear the Word of God, or we read the Word of God concerning the gospel about Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done. First of all, we read it, we hear it, okay? Secondly, right there in that text, it says, then we believe. We believe in Christ. And we believe that we are now right with God through Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, right here in this text, our Bible says that then we receive the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, when we receive the greatest of all the gifts, Jesus Christ, He gives us also the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the scriptures here is the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Now, some people have come to me and they said, Pastor Ken, is the seal of the promised Holy Spirit the same as the seal of God in the book of Revelation? Different. Different. They're related, but they're different. Now, in verse 14, did you take a look at that? It says here, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. I'm summarizing that verse. It's the guarantee of our inheritance. I love the way how it says that one Greek word, which I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try, but that one Greek word can be translated guarantee. It can also be translated first fruits. It can also be translated the down payment. The down payment. And so what this means is twofold. First of all, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, He says to us in effect, I'm guaranteeing you that because you have accepted my Son Jesus Christ as your righteousness by faith, there's going to be more and more ahead. And what does He mean by that more and more ahead? The Holy Spirit's going to help you to get to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to help you to reflect Jesus. And not only that, you know what else it means? It means that the Holy Spirit is going to do through us in our earthly life, as it were, a foretaste of heaven. The Holy Spirit is like a foretaste of heaven. It's not heaven, it's a foretaste. And another way to put it is it's kind of like a pledge of money or a down payment that guarantees that He will fulfill the full payment in due time. What's the full payment in due time? The full payment is heaven. When the full riches are given to us, now we have the down payment. Now we have the early payment, which is the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the down payment. Aren't you glad for that? I thank God for the down payment. But think about this, friends. Where then are the full riches now by faith? Where are the full riches now? Where is our righteousness now? In heaven, in Jesus. Where is our perfection now? Is it in us? No, it's in heaven, in Jesus. Where is our immortality now? Is it in us? No, it's in Jesus Christ. Christ, not in us, but in Christ in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. What does it say? Reserved in heaven for you. Now, please don't leave yet. We just talked about the first advent. Don't leave yet. I want to talk with you now about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you know that the Bible, the Word of God, says that the second coming of Jesus Christ is called the blessed hope of the Christian. The blessed hope of the Christian. As you look here at the slide in front of you, you know what the blessed hope of the Christian, the second coming of Christ, is? It is simply an unveiling of what has already been done in his first advent through the gospel. It's an unveiling. Because right now, we have all these blessings by faith. But the day is going to come when Jesus comes again, the second coming of Christ, the appearing, when it will no longer be by faith alone. It will be in reality. It'll be the real thing. That's something to get excited about. Amen? Oh, I long for that day. Oh, for the day when Jesus will come again. Because according to the Bible, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we're going to have redemption by sight. By sight. In all of its fullness. Now, we have redemption right now. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, through Jesus Christ, by faith. But the day is going to come when we will have it in its fullness. That is awesome to think about it. And then I read in the Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, it tells us that Christ will appear the second time to bring salvation to those who are watching for him. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, salvation will be fully disclosed. We have it now by faith. Praise God, we have it by faith now. But the day is going to come when it will be fully disclosed. Can't wait. Can't wait. And then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. All those who love his appearing will receive, the Bible says, will receive the crown of righteousness. You know what that's like? The crown of righteousness? That's like Adam and Eve were righteous inherently before sin happened. And when Jesus comes again, we will be righteous inherently. Wow, the real thing, the real thing. Right now, we're righteous in Christ by faith. But when Jesus comes again, it'll be by sight. We will be righteous. Adam and Eve were before sin. As them, so we will be too. And then when you come to Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 40, it says that all believers will be made perfect. Now I want you to think about that. All believers are going to be made perfect when Jesus comes again. I am aware that there are some who teach that no. Christ is not our perfection. We must become exactly as perfect as Jesus Christ now in order for us to be saved. Now, where did they come up with that idea? Where did they come up with that idea? I would suggest that they came up with that idea by leaving some things out. If we leave out the reality of the nature of man, and we leave out, we ignore it, we just don't talk about it, and we leave out the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, then friends, then we must be exactly, perfectly, as Jesus was perfect before Jesus comes again. But you know, my Bible and your Bible teaches us that we are not obligated to equal the character of Jesus Christ. We're obligated to exemplify the character of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the only substitute. Jesus is the only lamb that can save us by his blood. Jesus is not asking you and me to be a substitute. He's asking us to accept him and his substitutionary atonement. And so now we as Christians are not asked to be as exactly perfect as Jesus was perfect, but we are asked to exemplify his perfection, to exemplify it in our lives, to seek to be like Jesus in character. And we can. We can, by faith in Christ, through the help of the Holy Spirit, even come to the place to do it perfectly. You know what the Bible calls that? Christian perfection. this side of the second coming of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus comes again, perfection, we will be perfect within ourselves, from in our nature, in action, and in thought. We will be exactly as Jesus. We'll be like Adam and Eve were before sin. Oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come. Amen? And I praise the Lord that at the second advent of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 50 through 56, it promises us that God's people are going to put off their sinful mortal state. In other words, the enemy of death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And we're going to put on then, not right now, then, immortality. No more death. No more dying. Isn't this exciting? We know these blessings now by faith. And the day will come at the second coming of Jesus Christ when these blessings will be ours by sight. The second coming of Jesus Christ, friends, is the unveiling, the cosmic unveiling. Now, I'd like to give you some examples, but as you can tell, the clock is... Someone hold the hands of the clock. Just stop it, will you? But rather than four questions that we're going to seek to answer, you can look at those four questions and the answers right there in your notes. But I'm going to seek to answer, by God's help, question number one. And that question is this. Can you relate to this question? Why do Christians really desire to be changed at His appearing? Think about that. As Christian believers, we really desire, we want so much for Jesus to come. We desire because we want to be changed at His appearing. Well, go to the Word of God and see for yourself. Romans chapter 8. I ask you today, how many Christians here today, as you live in this sinful world all around you, are groan and sigh over the conditions of this world and the conditions of you and me? You ever groaned before? Ever sighed before? Raise your hand. Come on, now let's be honest. Every one of us have. I tell you what, every day when we hear, every day when we see, every day when we exactly maybe sometimes experience the results of another car accident, another person we hear has cancer, someone incurable disease has an incurable disease, another funeral to attend, what do? We groan. Are you with me? Understand what I'm trying to say? We groan because we're reminded that we still live in the land of the enemy. And so we groan because of the pain of old age. Anybody out there relate to this? We groan because the handful of pills that we take one day at a time, it just doesn't do in the job. We groan because we hear of a natural disaster. Sometimes we're in a natural disaster. We groan because we hear of another war and a rumor of a war. The Apostle Paul had something to say about groaning, that you and I are honest about our groaning, why we long and desire for Jesus to come again and change us, right here in Romans chapter 8. You got your Bibles open? Take a look at it. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. All creation, nature, even nature itself, your dog, our cat, suffers because of our sin, because of the sin of this world. And they long in their own mind and thinking somehow and anticipate the day when restoration will take place. But take a look at verse 23. This is beautiful. And not only they, in other words, not only nature or creation, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. There it is again. That's what you and I have right now. We've got the down payment. We've got the guarantee. We've got the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's us. That's you and me. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Friends, we're not talking here in verse 23 of Romans chapter 8 of the first adoption. We're not talking here about redemption. We're redeemed by faith, yes, but this is talking about the full adoption. This is talking about the full redemption, and it takes place when? When Jesus comes again. Now, look with me to verses 24 and 25 as we finish the message today. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? So if we can see it, if we're experiencing it right now, we don't need to hope. We got it. But that's not where we live. We live now by faith. We need to live by faith. And so he says the next verse, but if we hope for that, for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us here two things. He says, in a sense, this: salvation is both present right now, and it's also future. It's present right now because of the moment that you and I said yes to Jesus, he accepts us, and eternal life has begun. But that's not all of eternal life. We've just started. When heaven comes, when Jesus comes again, and we go to heaven, that's the fullness of eternal life. We ain't seen anything yet, excuse my English, but the best is yet to come, friends. It's all there. Have you noticed that you and I can face almost anything, as long as we have hope? How do you get hope? You give your life to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus Christ. And with this hope, we are waiting patiently. With this hope, we are waiting patiently for a completed salvation. And the Bible calls that hope the blessed hope of the Christian, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when you and I hope in the blessed hope, it keeps us waiting with endurance. It keeps us waiting with expectation. Friends, just think of it. All that we now have by faith and hope will be ours by sight. Friends, wow, can't wait, can't wait. And so when I turn into my Bibles and I read again 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, it is during that time when we will truly experience the cosmic unveiling, when all that we know now by faith will finally become by sight. Whew. When this mortal, that's me, that's you, becomes immortal, and we will be changed. Changed. Not with cancer, not with a disease that took us to the grave, not with a scar from an accident that we had, not with a loss of a leg or a loss of a limb, but restored, healthy, beautiful bodies, free from sorrow, free from sin, free from pain. And this is what my Bible says, and yours too. I'm thankful for the authority of God's word. Amen? As a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I'm also thankful for the writings of Ellen White. Because you know why Ellen White was, we believe her as a prophet? Not because she's another Bible. We don't have another Bible. We only one Bible. But we believe in Ellen White because Ellen White affirms the Scriptures, leads us to the Scriptures, to appreciate the Scriptures. What does she have to say about this? Well, read it in your notes, but here about this subject right now, Volume 3, of Selective Messages, 430, 431. Follow as I read it. The life giver is coming to break the fetters of the tomb. He is to bring forth the captives and proclaim, I am the resurrection and the life. There stands the risen host. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? At the second coming of Jesus Christ, there stands the risen host. The last thought was of death and its pangs. The last thought they had were of the grave and the tomb, but now they proclaim, O death, where is thy sting? And the O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The pangs of death were the last things they felt. Then I love this last part. When they awake, are you listening with me? When they awake, the pain is all gone. O grave, where is thy victory? Here they stand, and the finishing touch of immortality is put up on them, and they go up to meet their Lord in the air. Friends, the best is yet to come. We have it now by faith, but then by sight. But now by faith. Right now by faith. The just shall live by faith. By faith, not in our righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness. So hold on, friends. Hold on. Continue to trust in Jesus Christ. Continue to live for Jesus Christ. Continue to wait for Jesus Christ with great expectation. Because, friends, the day is going to come when the great unveiling is going to take place. Jesus will come again. And what will happen then? Read it out loud with me. Okay, together. What will happen? Redemption will be by what? By sight. Salvation will be by what? By sight. Righteousness will be by what? By sight. Perfection will be by what? By sight. Sin will be put away. Death will be abolished. Immortality will be ours. Oh, that will be glory for me. Friends, the best is yet to come. Oh, to be heavenly minded. Isn't this worthy of singing a song? Let's sing it together. And Vince, come up here and join me as we sing this beautiful song together, the glory song. Let's stand together.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory. Be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Friends will be there. I have loved long ago, joy like a river around me will flow. Just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me.
Sing it because you love it.
Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me,
glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me.
Let us pray. O loving Father in heaven, precious Father, we are excited that the best is yet to come. We're hopeful for the soon coming of your Son. We are filled with expectation for the great unveiling. But Lord, the thought has come to my mind as my head is bowed and my eyes are closed, that it's hard to get excited for Jesus' second coming if we have not yet said yes to Jesus. Oh, what a terrible thought, Lord. But I must be honest with you and my brothers and sisters here today that we would never experience heaven by sight until we first know heaven by faith. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want to make two appeals. An appeal for those who have not given their lives to Christ and you'd like to do it for the very first time in your life. And second appeal for those of us that want to rededicate our lives to you, Lord. And so, Father, there are some here today maybe who have heard the message about Jesus, what He did in His first advent, and you realize that that's not where you're at, not even by faith. And you love what it says about Jesus. And you're being wooed to Christ. And you'd like to receive Him today. For the first time, is there anyone here today? Raise your hand. Yes, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And now for many of us here today who are already Christians, we're holding on and looking forward to the blessed hope of the Christian, and we long for it, and we want to rededicate our lives to you in these troublous times because challenges are yet ahead, and without you we could do nothing, Lord, nothing. So we raise our hand to heaven right now. Everyone who wants to rededicate their lives, raise your hand to heaven. Jesus, thank you that you accept us, and we give you praise and glory for what you have done, and we long for the blessed hope of the Christian, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you, friends. We have this hope.